Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much for giving me the floor. Please, as this is the first time I'm taking the floor during this dialogue, I would like to welcome the delegation and congratulate you for your highly professional presentations, which have been absolutely comprehensive and which have paid careful attention to the questions that we've asked. This allows us to improve our work, which ultimately is to try and help countries improve their implementation of the convention. That's the idea behind the dialogue, and I think it's working well, really well in this case. So thank you very much. Obviously, though, it's inevitable that we're going to try and squeeze you a little bit more to make this as productive as possible. So I've just got one question for your consideration. I think it's something which has been hovering in the room, but I'm not exactly clear as to how you're managing this. Yesterday, I was really struck by the excellent opening presentation, notably when it comes to the country's attempts to provide a different response to adolescents in conflict with the law. And then you showed us how legal changes have led to an improvement in adolescents' situation, with the reduction in the number of adolescents being held in custody having fallen from over 200 or to around 50, I believe. And that's something which we need to pay tribute to. But I come from Latin America, a region where over the past 20 years, all countries have amended their legislation in order to bring it into line with the convention. But we've been facing difficulties when we try to work out what we should do with adolescents in conflict with the law when they're not being held in custody. So, I'd like to know, what specific programs have you got for the two situations? When you have children who are below the minimum age of responsibility, so let's imagine that you have a child who's been involved in a crime, but who is not criminally liable. How do you ensure that they will not be transferred to a prison when they reach the minimum age of criminal responsibility? And then what about the children who have reached the age of 14, but are not going to be held in custody? What kind of diversion programs have you got? What kind of restorative justice initiatives have you got? So what specific programs are there in place? And if you haven't got any, what do you plan to do? I'll give you Latin America's experience. You release children from custody and they end up in the streets without any kind of support from the state. I imagine that there are fellow lawyers on the delegation, notably you, madam, who was referring to legal traditions. We've got the same civil law traditions in our countries, and that, as a result, you haven't fully implemented adversarial system. So, what I would like to suggest is that a purely adversarial system doesn't really recognise children's rights, and that's something which has actually been acknowledged by the Supreme Court of the USA. So there's some kind of contradiction between a child-friendly system and a completely adversarial system. That's something that we've faced in our region. I want to share this idea with you that a hard and fast adversarial system means that children end up being treated like adults, but that's what not the convention wants. They want to ensure due process adjusted